All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, we're just so grateful that you are a God that is in control, that you see over all. And Lord, as we worship you, Lord, prepare our hearts for your word. Prepare our hearts for the music, for the fellowship, for the gathering. Lord, help us to focus on you and your goodness and your grace and your mercy and who you are. Help us to grow closer to you, know you more. Lord, I ask that this service be a blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys. Who in here has ever tasted soap? All right. I'm not alone. What was it, a voluntary thing, or was it just we like the taste of it, or we said something, right? Either a bad word or we said something disrespectful. And you know what? No matter how much water you drink, you cannot get rid of it. It takes a long time. Some have had the pleasure of biting into a bar of soap, bringing back memories, or the liquid soap. Now, I never did try the powdered soap. I'm so thankful for that. It's just amazing anymore on what society allows. You know, you say an inappropriate word when I was growing up, it was uncalled for. You got in trouble. You'd get to taste soap, or they would allow you to cut your own switch for discipline reasons. I don't know if some of you know what that is, but it was, different forms of a discipline, not punishment, because they wanted you to grow. There was different ways to do it. For something that we said, now, as I was thinking about this and some of the shows that we once watched compared to today, how much has things changed? A lot. I remember to what we would call minor swear words were on after 10 o'clock, right before that beeping sound came on the TV and the lines after so long. They'd have minor swear words sometimes. Anymore during daytime television, is there any rules? Not really, no. Anything goes. Anything goes. Now, the first movie with foul language in it, what was it? Gone with the Wind, yes. Yes. And we look at that was such a big deal back then. That one word, that one line. People got upset. It shouldn't happen. The government used to control what they could say on TV or movies. And now they have the ratings for that. You know, what is this movie rated? And things have gotten so far out, I think we've become really desensitized. When we hear people talking, casual talk, just letting it fly, it's normal, isn't it? For the most part. For the most part. I have worked, again, pawn shop. I have worked railroad construction. I have talked to numerous truck drivers and garbage men. Anything flies. And they don't even bat an eye at it. Not a big deal to them. The filthier the better sometimes, according to them. And that's kind of, and years ago, I don't know, some of you have been on this planet a couple years longer than I have, but I remember where that wasn't tolerated. And I got to thinking that, James, what would he be saying if he was here? What would he teach us? And this letter that he wrote to the Jews is very relevant to us today. And we're going to continue on in our series of What Did You Say? We're going to finish it up. James chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. We're going to read that. However, our focus is going to be on the end of verse 5 to verse 12. So open your Bibles, 3. We're going to read 1 through 12. And it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining our whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things not ought to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Pretty cut and dry with what he's saying. Now, as we conclude our series on the speech, we're going to look at more illustrations. James, he likes to do illustrations. He's going to illustrate his points. And this one, he's really kicking it up a notch. Before we get into today's, let's do a quick recap of last week to catch you up. We compared the tongue to a bit that controls a horse and a rudder that guides a ship. Now we talked about how the bit will sit on the tongue of the horse, and with it you can direct the horse any direction you want it to go, and it should listen if they're a good horse. If they're not, it's going to hurt a lot when you hit the ground. And then the rudder on the ships. Now, I got corrected last week. Here's a correction. Ships, some of them, have a, what do they call it, Mark, to make it propel to the side? Yeah, bow thrusters to make it certain. So there are some other technicalities with the boats that do help guide it, but there's still, most of them have the rudders that keep it going in a straight direction. Which helps out with the piloting, so you can steer around certain objects. See, the bit and the rudder are both relatively small in comparison to the whole thing. Now, they're a small thing that directs the objects. James is telling the people that man, with the help of Jesus, need to control their speech, their tongue. It's a small organ, but can be extremely, extremely dangerous. It can cause so many problems. Now, James is talking about the dangers of speech. He first talks about a forest fire. Now, a forest fire is one of the most dangerous disasters and one of the most coolest disasters you could ever see. Just the power in it, the sheer power, is breathtaking if you're standing too close. Get it? Smoke? No, sorry. Laugh track. Okay, anyways. I've seen a number of these. You can just see them light up the sky. Even when you're watching them on TV, they just look so powerful, the way they burn, the way they consume things. When I lived in Montana, we had a number of them. When I lived in Wyoming, a place called Lovell, they had a fire in the Bighorns, Medicine Wheel. I remember that. I just remember the smoke, the haze, and the glow. Just so much about it. It's just so cool, yet so dangerous. And of course, I remember when there was a fire up in Canada. Where does the smoke come? South sometimes. You can actually smell the fire. Now, with a forest fire, is there much you can do to contain it? There's not a whole lot you can do. You can try to put a fire line in. You could take a scraper or a grater and try to put some dirt between the vegetation and hope it kind of slows it down. You could put chemicals in the air on a helicopter and pour water on it. You can light a fire to maybe outburn it. But there's not a whole lot that you can do other than get out of the way sometimes. Forest fires, I think, are very interesting, very Awesome power. The one I don't like, however, are the grass fires. And I imagine you have grass fires around here with the grass. And the reason why I think those are more dangerous is because of the wind. You get dry grass on fire, how fast does it travel? You can't outrun it. You can't outrun it. And a lot of times those will jump roads, those fires. And it doesn't matter. You have this fire. And what starts a fire? Sparks, right? It takes a small spark to start a fire, doesn't it? Unless, of course, you're in Boy Scouts and you have to start a one-match fire. Forget starting a fire. It doesn't hardly happen. I've done that. I have died numerous times because I couldn't get my fire to go. I said, okay, you're dead. So it seems to me that if you don't want a fire to go, it happens. When you look at house fires, what causes house fires? Electrical stuff. Carelessness. Ovens. All kinds of things can start a fire. But it just takes that one small piece. One small piece to start it. I remember one time coming home from work. We lived 15 miles away, and I seen this vehicle pulled over, and there was a small fire beside it. So I had a shovel in the back of my truck, and I went over there, and by the time I got there to a stop, the fire has already spread. What happened was somebody lost a driveline, and a piece of it went into the weeds. And this was, I think it was, fall time, to where right across the fence was a wheat field that had already been harvested. So you got the short stalks. Thankfully, though, and I did all I could do. You can't do much with just a shovel and that hard, hard ground. You're not going to do much. The fire truck came and put it out, and it spread pretty good in that 20 minutes. Thankfully, the wind wasn't going too far, too fast. And we think about fire, especially going through cities or places like that. It destroys everything, doesn't it? It multiplies. It keeps traveling and traveling. If I were to spill a cup of water, would I flood the whole place? No. My cup would be empty. There'd be a puddle. It would stay there. Or soak into the carpet or whatever. It would go away. But a fire keeps going. A fire keeps going. It doesn't take much to start it. And the very next sentence, James calls the tongue a fire. To really illustrate his point. He's saying that the speech can be so devastating, he calls it fire. The speech is a world of unrighteousness. So now James calls the tongue something huge rather than something small. He calls it a world. Remember he says a small member? Now it's a world. Now it's a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is a part of sin nature in people. It utters every wrong emotion and thought and puts every kind of wrong deed into words. It is the very evil part of man. It can do so much damage to the person which it is attached to, and could do damage to those around. That is the point that James is getting to. It is evil, it is vile, and it does so much harm. So much harm. Next, James says that the tongue is set on fire by hell, referring to a continual state of burning. Now, this is a great illustration to what we know of hell. Continual burning. A little bit of history on this word that James is using. This word hell in the Greek is a gena, and it means valley of Himen. It's a literal place. This is a valley deep in the southwest of Jerusalem where people took out their trash, They're garbage, they're dead animals, and they're dead criminals. And threw them out there to burn them. It is a wasteland that has been defiled. This land was once occupied by the Canaanites. The Canaanites would do horrible things in this valley. One thing they would do is sacrifice children to their statue, Molech. This thing, statue, had a body of a man and a head of a bull with horns, and the whole thing was made out of bronze. Some pictures show its arms straight out, arms like this. But what they would do is they would take their children, they would rest it in his arms while it was hot and burn the child. Heart-wrenching. They'd heat up that metal and this child would just burn. This is the place where even the Israelites have done this. Up until a certain time, it was permanently halted by King Josiah of Judah in 2 Kings 23:10. So you got all this stuff that happened there, this horrible act, and now the Israelites use it as a garbage heap, and they keep burning the garbage. To give a good reference to what hell is like. It was soiled land, now is used as landfill and filth. And then James moves on about taming the tongue and using animals to illustrate. He says in verse 7 and 8, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison." Now, as we look at this, we notice, has every animal been kind of tamed? I've never seen a tame spider yet. I don't want to. I prefer them squished. There are animals that... I guess you could call them tame. I don't know. You can halfway tame a bear, can't you? They're in circuses. Tigers, lions, guppies. I don't know. You see, my mind just kind of works that way. I don't understand some days. But he's getting a point. Most of the animals, at least at one point, have been tamed or have been caged. A caged animal is something you can look at from a distance safely. If it is... mean, and likes to eat people. That's kind of, James is giving that illustration that all these things have been tamed. Now, if you think that a snake that can swallow you is tame and good to have around, I'm not sure about you. That's gross. There are some creatures that have been tamed. It should be better left alone. According to me, my own opinion, I should leave them out there. Don't bring them in. Tigers in town are not something we need. People do it. People do it. See, God put mankind over the animals. He says, you're going to rule over them, and you are going to take care of them. Have we done a good job taking care of some of them? Yeah. Some we kind of drop the ball on. But for the most part, we're called to be good stewards of what God has given us. And some we have tamed. And his point is, these ferocious animals we could tame. We could tame a bear. But what about the tongue? Can we tame that? Can we tame that? Verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's fascinating. Fascinating. A small member. I heard a commentary to where you can maybe cage the tongue, but it's still evil, still full of deceit. And if you let it out of its cage, I keep talking about that filter, what happens? If you don't watch what you say, how much can you hurt? Who can you hurt? If you were to say the thing on your mind, how would people look at you? Our mind and our heart is evil. It is full of deceit. Even for the long-term Christian, they have thoughts that go through their mind that they know they shouldn't have. Sin nature. And we can't tame it. One day, this is weird to say, but we'll have a glorified tongue. So we can say things that are wholesome. But right now, it's a work in progress. To where we kind of have to cage it. We have to keep tabs on it because we cannot say it. There's nothing good about the speech of man when the tongue is released. If we don't watch what we say and let things fly out, we're in big trouble. If you let the things out of your mouth that you're thinking, will the cops be making a visit for your safety, for the safety of others? Yes. Yes. The things that we would say would be repulsive. And it's weird. That's why James brings up this next point. He says, man blesses God with his tongue and curses people who are made in the image of God. We are all singing songs, right? Praising God. How many of us will spread rumors or say something ill about somebody because they've got a different opinion? How many will let politics get into the way of their speech? How many will talk bad about somebody just because they follow one candidate and not the other? And they'll say things, repulsive things. There's even been things where people wish harm upon people for following somebody or saying this person is, I can vote for this person or that person. Now, I'm not going to get political on you. I will not tell you who to vote for. You will vote on the issues, on what is, some days it's the lesser of two evils. It's sad when you have to say that. But it's issues and policies. So we bless God and curse those whom God has made. We sing hymns and songs and praise God. Next minute, we're out there bad-talking somebody, gossiping, spreading rumors. The tongue can have an appearance of good. Somebody can say the most beautiful prayers and then go out there and say something horrible about somebody else or something horrible in general. This should not happen. James says, this should not happen. It does not make sense. That's why he says more illustrations to prove that point. It doesn't make sense. Why do we do this? These things ought to be so. It talks about a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and salt water. Who's drank from a spring around here? Anybody? Are there springs people drink from? Yes. Good. I know that, and I can say this, Shauna had to, her family had to transport water. They'd go to the spring in town, fill up buckets, and bring it back to the house so they had good water. Where my mom lived for a number of years, they had a faucet, but you couldn't drink the water. So you'd go to the spring, which was probably half a mile away from the house. They use it to water the cows. You take buckets and fill it up and use that as drinking water. It was good stuff. It was the same. It was the same. It was fresh water. No salt water. It was consistent. Consistent. Plants. What about plants? Are they consistent? Apple trees are going to bear apples, right? Don't talk about grafting. We're not doing that. I've seen pictures of a tree with 40 fruits. We're not talking about that. We're talking about those that God has designed to grow, right? An apple tree will produce apples, pears. Pear tree produces pears. Those little tiny weeds on the ground produce thorns that you step on. They won't produce anything good. They won't produce oranges. A pond cannot sustain salt and fresh water. See, all these oppose one another. They don't go together. They don't come out of the same thing. Just like our speech. It should be to bless and not to curse. Or curse and not bless. It opposes each other. It opposes each other. Boy, in the world we live in now, anything you want to say, you can say, right? Yeah. Yep. What makes you happy? Go for it. If it makes you happy and it's your truth, who's there to stop you? It's kind of the culture we're getting into. Is that what the Bible teaches? We need to have control. We need to have restraint. Our speech affects all areas of our lives. Our speech can stain us. Our speech can do so much damage to ourselves and to others. Our own testimony could be ruined with some of the words we say or some of the words that people say about us. I know a while ago, somebody was trying to slander my own testimony. I put a kibosh on that real fast. They were saying that I was okay with sin. So, well, pastor says sin's okay. This sin, I'm not going to get into it. To a couple church members. And I happened to be right there. And I asked this person to rephrase what they said. And they looked at me with these big eyes. They knew they were in the wrong. And I wasn't too worried about it. Because of the way I conduct my life and the things that I say. People know that I'm against that certain sin. They know it. So I didn't have to really go too far with it. But you see how bad that can have an effect on a church? You get one person kind of upset with you, and then you apologize or on that way, and that can just spread and spread. It's like a fire. It can go through a church. It can destroy it. Forgiveness we have to seek sometimes. We have to watch what we say. We as believers need to make sure we have our words in order. They need to be godly. When we brag about ourselves, we talked about that last week, when we brag about ourselves, we're putting others down. We can do great harm to others and their profession. There are certain professions out there that rely on good words about them. So people trust them. They're trying to build that trust. We understand that people make mistakes and it should be dealt with. Now, the first thing we're going to look at is talking bad about others. Because they're different or they think differently. Is that what Christians do? This person's different. This person believes differently than I do. So I need to smear their name. This person follows this candidate, so I need to smear their name just because of that. Or this person dresses differently. This person talks differently. This person speaks with a weird accent. Whatever. Christians are not to do that. What do we grow up if you can't say something nice, just say it anyways? Don't say it at all. You don't have to speak. You don't have to talk. Be quiet if you can't say it nice. And those people that are against us that we would consider their enemy are those we don't get along with. So what do we do with them? Jesus gives us that answer. He makes it very, very simple. Luke 6, 26 through 30, 26, sorry, 27 through 36. He says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good, and lend them expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. That should be our relationship with people. That's what it should be. And it says, and the whole phrase, turn the other cheek, does not mean hit them so hard they turn to you the other cheek to hit. I saw that once. I kind of chuckled. No, it's loving somebody, praying for them. Thinking of things nice you can do for them. Sometimes the nicest thing you could do for certain people you don't get along with is avoid them, maybe. Don't get so close. Don't become buddy-buddies with them. You ever try to become friends with somebody you really don't get along with? It hurts, doesn't it? Because you have to try extra hard to be nice. But you need to be nice. If you see them out in public, be nice. Say kind words. And don't spread anything about them. Don't talk about them. Don't talk about them. That's the biggest thing. Is stop talking about others. Especially their weaknesses and their faults. I'll get to that later. The next thing we need to do with our speech, we need to watch, is gossip. Is gossip. What is gossip? Well, it's defined as casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. It's talking about people and their business that's none of your business. That's what it is. And I like that Christians, oh boy, I have seen this. We are some of the worst people about it. You know, we really want to pray for old Billy Bob Ray Horton. Hope nobody's name is that. Okay, good. He is such in sin, you know, he's an adulterer right now and he's doing this and that. Is that any of our business? No, if he wants the church to pray for him, that's his responsibility to go to the church. It's not some busybody who hears it and then reports it to everybody. Oh, we got to be praying for him. He's stuck in this situation or that because I heard it. It's not for us. It's that gossip we need to make sure that we're not spreading. If somebody needs prayer, and if they come to you about it, you pray for them. You keep your mouth quiet afterwards. Don't spread that kind of stuff around. It could be detrimental to their life, to their relationship. If they're working through problems, if they're really struggling and they want to grow closer to Jesus, but they got the sin they're working with, they don't want the whole community to know. That's between them. And if it starts to spread, if they're having problems in marriage and things get out, how bad does that look? Even if they're having a small, minor problem, say they can't agree what color of curtains to put up, and yet it turns out somebody says something, it keeps going more and more and more, all of a sudden, through the grapevine, they're getting a divorce because somebody's unfaithful. It's that telephone game, right? It keeps getting progressively weirder and weirder and weirder. And we as Christians need not to do that. So with gossip needs to stop. There's no place for it. Read the book of Proverbs. It talks about that. There's no place for it. So what do we do when we hear gossip? I don't get to hear a lot of gossip. Because if I do, I like to call the person they're talking about. Me and that person who's talking, we'll go see them. And straighten things out that way. That'll get them quiet real fast. You go to that person instead of talking about them. So don't give an ear to it. Don't feed in on it. And don't partake. And if they want to partake, you go to the person who they're talking about. You take that person who's talking to them about it, and you go to that person who the subject is. Get the facts. Now, Gossip may start off as harmless. A fire starts off with a small spark, doesn't it? But then it can grow. Those who gossip are in a group of people that are unrighteous. Of course, along with a number of other sins. But Romans 1, 29 through 31 says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, contagious, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Gossiping is within those horrible things. It does the church no good. People's reputations have been ruined. Relations lost. And have been fired from their jobs. The Christian should not entertain gossip. And if they're to come across it, stop it. Put a halt to it. Stop giving an ear, and we should stop repeating it. Go to the person and deal with the situation. Now, humans love a good, juicy story, right? Yeah. But to what extent? To somebody else's reputation? To their livelihood? To their relationship? See, we as Christians, let's keep our words in check. Let's keep it in check. Let's not talk about others. And let's not spread things that are not true. Words can damage. Words can damage. They're like a fire that can spread far and wide. It's not like a cup of water where it just stays. It spreads. Our speech, if not controlled, is a horrible thing. Now, as we continue to serve God, how are we going to use our words? What are we going to do? Are we going to do a lot less talking sometimes? That's good for some of us. Not so much talking. And we need to think about how we say things. Are we going to be hypocrites and bless God and curse our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we going to sing praises to Jesus and go about gossiping about others? Ought not to be. Keep control of your words. Be aware of situations you are in and act appropriately. Finally, seek forgiveness when needed. Seek forgiveness. And if you're struggling with certain things, seek forgiveness. God's there. He's going to see you through it. Seek Him and His grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, and Lord, You have given us instructions, convicting instructions on things that we... As I even reflect on my own life, some things that I have said, some thoughts that have gone through, and just I realize what a horrible person I am sometimes. Lord, we need You. We need You in our lives. We need You to take control. You're the only one that can tame us. And I ask that we search You, that we look for You towards Your goodness and Your grace. Help us to be more godly. Help us to look at Your Son, what He did. Help us to focus on You. Help us to get that filter working. We need that. And it can only happen with You in our lives. And Lord, we're not going to be perfect till we see You. Lord, I ask that You please keep bringing conviction upon us when we mess up, so we can seek You and seek Your forgiveness. And then we need to go to that other person and seek forgiveness from them. Lord, help us restore that relationship with You. Help us to restore that relationship with others that we have hurted, Lord. But I thank You that You do forgive, and that You do love us, and that You want us to grow in You. Keep guiding us as we continue to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Galatians 5, 25 through 26. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not be boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. You are dismissed.